Welcome to Feeding His Sheep Podcast, brought to you by A.T. Stewart Ministries. I'm your host, A.T. Stewart. Today is Friday, so we're having Flashback Fridays, where I reach back into the archives of sermons that I preached some 20 years ago, and we seek to see what God would say to us in His Word. So take your Bible, and let's listen to God's Word together. The purpose of today's message is to exhort and to encourage you to spend more time reading and listening and obeying the Word of God than you presently are. Now, one good way to do this is to be a part of our Faith Comes by Hearing campaign. Now, the plan is to listen 12 minutes a day for 3 months, and we will move through the entire New Testament between the time we start, September 27th, and December 31st. That's the plan. The challenge is that you will either listen or read 12 minutes more a day for the next 90 days than you usually do in the Word of God. In other words, we're not just trying to get you into the Word of God unless you don't get into it now on a regular basis. Now, if you don't get into it on a regular basis, then yes, we want you to get into it 12 minutes a day. But if you're already spending time in the Word every day, we want you to spend 12 minutes more than what you are spending at the present moment. Now you say, why should I spend more time in the Word of God? I'm glad you asked that question. Because today I'm going to give you 10 reasons why you should spend more time in the Word of God and obeying the Word of God than you presently are. Number one, it honors God because God has magnified His Word according to all His name. Over in Psalm 138, the Scripture talks about the name of God and how God has exalted His Word according to His name. Now, the name of God represents who He is. Psalm 138:2. I will bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word according to all your name. The name of God represents who He is. God has revealed Himself to His people through His names. Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. Jehovah Nissi, the God who is our banner. And so God's name represents who He is. That's why Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous flees to it and is helped. If you flee to the Lord, His name represents who He is. That's the reason in the New Testament you read, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, it's not calling upon J-E-S-U-S that's going to save you, but it's calling upon the person behind the name, Jesus, because His name represents who He is. That's why in the third commandment, God has commanded us to keep His name holy and not to profane it. Whoever takes the name of the Lord, your God, in vain, has broken the commandment of God and in the Old Testament days was punished severely, even by death. And because our Lord's name is precious to Him, and because His Word is precious to Him, He has exalted His Word according to His name. In other words, what He's saying is, our Lord has placed His Word on equal footing with His name. Think about that. God has said that His Word is to be exalted as He is exalted. Now you can understand why Jesus, the living Word of God, submitted to the authority of the written Word of God. As Jesus was dying on the cross, the Scripture says, in order that the Scriptures might be fulfilled, He says, I thirst. In other words, Jesus knew that the Old Testament prophesied that the Messiah would say, I thirst, as He was dying on the cross and desiring to be obedient to the Word of God, submitting Himself to the authority of the written Word, the living Word of God said, I thirst. Therefore, the more time we spend in God's Word, listening and obeying His Word, this honors God because God has exalted His Word according to His name. To exalt His Word is to exalt Him. To spend more time in His Word is to exalt Him. Secondly, the Word of God is a lamp to your path. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Terry and I make it a habit to walk, try to on a daily basis. Sometimes it's late in the day before we can go and it's even nighttime. But there's a stretch that we walk down beside John Petrie where there's no traffic, street lights to light the path. And we're side of the road, so I like to grab a flashlight. In fact, I have a flashlight right by the front door, so when we go out at night, I can grab that flashlight. Now, I don't shine that flashlight on my face so people can see me, but what do I do with it? I put it down on the path so we can see where we're stepping, that we won't step on a snake or step in a hole or something else. All of us have had experiences where we've been in the dark and we needed to see where we were going, and so we, by the means of a flashlight, could illuminate our path and keep us out of danger. Show us which way to go. Well, we live in a world of spiritual darkness, spiritual night. And if you and I are going to navigate through this world of spiritual darkness, we need a spiritual light to shine our path, to keep us out of danger and out of pitfalls. The Word of God is that light. And so the more time we spend in the Word of God, the more light we will shine on our path so that we might walk through this world of spiritual darkness and not stumble and fall. But we might clearly see where God would have us to go. Third, the Word produces reverence for God. One of the major themes of the Bible is how important it is that the people of God fear God. That we have a holy reverence for God. How many verses can you think of that deal with fearing God? Think for a moment. One verse in Psalm says, blessed is the man who fears the Lord and greatly delights in His commandments. Now, one you probably thought about was the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Now, let me let you see another one from Proverbs 19. The fear of the Lord leads to life, so that one may sleep satisfied and untouched by evil. How would you like to sleep satisfied at night? Lay your head on that pillow and just satisfied and untouched by evil. Well, the way you can do that is to have reverence for the Lord. Well, if fear of God is so important, how do we as Christians get this reverence for God that will lead to satisfied sleep and a life untouched by evil? The Word of God is the key. Look in Psalm 119, 38. Establish your word to your servant is that which produces reverence for you. It is the Word of God that will produce that reverence in your heart for God. As you read the Word of God, as you hear the Word of God, and you hear about the power of God, the God of creation, the God who delivered His people from their bondage in Egypt, as you read how Jesus healed the sick and the lame and cast out the demons, as you read about the love of God as Jesus died on the cross for us, this produces a holy reverence for God in your life. And with this holy reverence for God, your life will be one filled with wisdom, because that's the beginning of wisdom. And you'll have satisfied sleep, and you'll be untouched by evil, and you will be blessed. Therefore, the more time we spend in God's Word, listening, reading, and obeying, the more reverence for God you will have in your life. Number four, the Word helps keep you from sin. Psalm 119:11. Your Word I have treasured in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Look at that word, treasured. The Word have I treasured in my heart. Now, where do we keep our treasures today? Now, back in the biblical days, they would go out and dig a hole somewhere and bury that treasure. Or perhaps they would keep it under the floor in their house. But we don't do that. I hope you don't do that today. Where do we keep our treasures? In a safety deposit box at the bank, right? You know, the important papers that we have, like our will, put it in a safety deposit box. Keep it safe there. And so if you want to update this passage, I have kept your word in the safety deposit box of my heart, that I might not sin against you. To see the Word of God is so important as those important papers, as that will, that you put it in the safety deposit box of your heart. You guard it there. You keep it there. You treasure it there. And in times of temptation, the Holy Spirit will take that Word and bring it out. And you'll have it in your time of need. And it will help keep you from sinning against God. Maybe you're wrestling with impure thoughts. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit reaches into the safety deposit box of your heart and pulls out the verse that we bring every thought in obedience to Christ, bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And that verse gives you the strength to put away those impure thoughts. That's the value of the Awana program, where children are giving into the Word of God. You know, those verses we learned as children, isn't it amazing how those verses stay in our minds? Years later, those verses come back. When you put the Word of God in your spirit, in your heart, then it's there so the Holy Spirit can bring it out in your time of need. Now, the more time you spend in the Word of God, the more of it gets into the safety deposit box of your heart, then the more that's there when your time of temptation comes, that the Holy Spirit can bring it out. That's one thing I've noticed about listening to the Word of God while I'm driving. I have a confession to make. As a man who grew up in a small town in Georgia, where a traffic jam was three cars on Saturday afternoon, I abhor, and that's a mild term, I abhor traffic. I cannot stand. I do not think I would live in a place that I had to commute and do the bumper traffic. My blood pressure, I'd have a stroke. I had rather go 15 miles out of the way and be moving than to sit still in traffic for 10 minutes. Whenever I go on a trip to Florida, I take a map, and if that interstate is backed up like it was one time when we were coming back because of a wreck. I grabbed that map. I took off. I went back roads and got around it. I couldn't stand. I would have. But you know what I noticed? If I'm listening to the Word of God as I'm driving and I get caught up in a traffic situation, I don't get irritated, Fred. It's amazing how the Word of God calms me down. I don't get irritated. Somebody cuts in front of you, you listen to the Word of God. It's amazing how you react differently. The cure for road rage is the Word of God. The Word of God in our hearts will help keep us from sin. That very time of temptation, that Word of God will come to your mind and it will give you the strength you need to stand firm. Number five, the Word helps your meditation be pleasing to God. Psalm 119, 148. My eyes anticipate the night watches, that I may meditate on your Word. Now, all of us as Christians have a desire that our thoughts be pleasing to God. And we're to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. God even commands us in Colossians chapter 3 that we're to set our mind on the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, not on the things of this world. Now, that's difficult to do because we're enmeshed in this world 24/7. And we're just continually being drawn to this world and to think about the things of this world. So how can we think about the things of God, the spiritual things, the things above, when we are trapped in this world below? Listening to the Word of God is an answer to that. What you will find as you spend more time listening to the Word of God is that you will find in those idle moments, your thoughts will drift back to what you have heard in the Word of God rather than something else that you've heard on the radio or maybe you've heard on the television. The more time you spend saturating your mind and spirit with the Word of God, the more your times of thoughtful reflection will be about God's Word and God's truth, something you have heard or read in the Scriptures. And so listening to the Word of God will help make your meditations pleasing to Him. Six, the Word can make your way prosperous. Over in Joshua chapter 1, as Joshua was preparing to lead the Israelites into the Promised Land, he had taken over leadership of the nation, God gave him some promises in chapter 1. And one in particular is found in verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Now, I don't think he's talking about material prosperity, but spiritual prosperity. He told Joshua if he would meditate on the Word of God and be careful to obey the Word of God, that God would make his way prosperous, that he would have success in what he put his hand to do. Psalm, the first Psalm, verses 2 and 3, tell us this same truth. How blessed it is for the one who spends time meditating on the Word of God. Verse 2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Now listen to the man or woman who meditates on the Word of God. He will be like a tree firmly planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, Its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. That tree that's firmly planted by the river of water, so that even in the times of drought, those roots will go out and will draw the needed moisture from the river. And that tree will always have leaves, and it will bear fruit in its proper season. So it is with the person who will spend time in obeying and meditating on the Word of God. God will see to it that your way will be spiritually prosperous, and you will not find yourself in some of the predicaments that others find themselves in this life because of the choices they have made. The problems that people encounter, the situations that people find themselves in, 95% of the time, it's a result and consequence of choices, bad choices, that they made. Now, 5% of the time, other people might make bad choices that affect us. And 5% of the time, it's outside of perhaps things we've done. But 95% of the time, I've found when people are experiencing dreadful, awful life situations, you can go back and say, well, you know, you made a bad choice here, and this resulted. And then you made another bad choice here, and this is what happened because of that. But if you will spend time in the Word of God, meditating on God's truth, because this is a guidebook, it's that light to your path. And if you will make your decisions based on this Word and the truth of this Word, you will eliminate many of the dreadful consequences that will come into your life because you've made bad choices, because you have not been in the Word of God to know the right choice to make. That is what he means by your way shall be prosperous. By following the Word of God, by being obedient to the Word of God, by making decisions based on the Word of God, your life will be much better and much more free of adversities. Not totally free, but you'll have less than you would walking after your own ways. Number 7. The Word enables you to withstand the storms of life. Jesus, over in Matthew 7, talked about two builders. One foolish, one was wise. He said the foolish builder built his house on the sand. The wise builder built his house on the rock. Now when the storms came, one of the houses fell flat. And you know which one it was. The one built upon the sand that did not have the solid foundation. Beginning in verse 24, therefore everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to the wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Jesus says if we will build our life on His Word and obedience to His Word, then no matter what storms come your way in this life, you will be able to stand because you have built your life on the solid foundation of the Word of God. And so if you will listen to the Word of God and obey it, then your life will be built on the solid foundation. And not only will you be able to withstand the storms in this life, but you will be able to withstand the final storm of the great day of judgment. Because you have trusted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and built your life upon Him and His Word. Number 8. The Word is Spirit and life. Jesus, again speaking over in John's Gospel, chapter 6, talks about the character of the Word of God. In John 6:63, he says, "It is the Spirit who gives life, and the flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. I want my life to have more of the Spirit of Jesus manifested through it. I want my life to have more of Christ and His Spirit showing through me to others." And I know you desire that same thing. Well, does it not stand to reason the more of the Spirit and life of Christ that I have in me, the more it will be manifested to others? He says, "My word is spirit and life." So the more I have the Word of God in me, the more the Spirit of Christ and the life of Christ will shine through me. Right? The more time I spend in the Word and obeying the Word, the more of the life and Spirit of Christ will be manifested and shine through me. Number 9. The Word is a key to a life of freedom. Jesus speaking in John 8, verses 31 and 32. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed Him, "If you continue in My Word, then you are truly disciples of Mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Now Jesus says, abiding in His Word, that two things would happen. First, He says, you would show that you are truly one of His disciples. And secondly, that you would know the truth, and the truth would set you free. You want to be set free from sinful habits? You want to be set free from the delusions of Satan? You want to be set free from vain imaginations? It's the Word of God that will set you free. Jesus said in John 17, "Thy Word is truth." Therefore, if we spend more time in the Word of truth, then the Spirit of truth will set us free from the deceptions and sinful habits and vain imaginations that the bearer of lies would want you to have. To be set free, you must be in the truth, if the truth is going to set you free. As we become more intimately involved with Christ, who is the truth, through His Word, which is truth, then the more we shall be set free from that which binds us to sin and Satan. Right? If the truth sets you free, how can you be free without the truth? And how can you have the truth if you don't spend time in the truth, which is the Word of God? Number 10. The Word cleanses you from the filth of the world. Jesus said over in John 15:3, "You are already clean because of the Word which I have spoken to you." Now He's talking about spiritual cleansing. You and I live in a world that is morally and spiritually filthy. I don't think any of us have any question figuring that out. Turn on the television, go to the movies, turn on the radio. This world is filled with spiritual filth and pollution. And you and I cannot live in this world without getting dirty. There's no way. Most of you cannot go to work without getting dirty. People around you cussing and carrying on. Can't go to school without getting dirty. We can't turn our television sets to many channels without that old filth jumping out on us. Well, what do you do now? Most of you take a bath every day to wash off the physical filth that we get from just being around in this world, right? Well, you need to take a spiritual bath. You need to take a spiritual shower every day and cleanse that spiritual filth that you've just picked up from living in this world. Well, Jesus said, the Word of God cleanses us. That daily cleansing. It is the blood of Christ that cleanses us from our sin inwardly. It is the blood of Christ that washes away our sin that we commit. But I'm talking about that sin that just gets on you because you're living in the world. Not inwardly, but outwardly. Just tainted. You need to get in the Word of God and be cleansed. You would find it amazing how beneficial it would be on your commute home from work if you would listen to the Word of God. You've been at work all day and just that filth has jumped around on you and you've brushed up against it and you need to be cleansed. And you would be amazed how coming home from work, listening to the Word of God, you would sense a cleansing and take your spiritual shower before you ever get home. We need to be cleansed daily from the filth of this world. And the Word of God is that which can cleanse you. Cleanse you while you're exercising. Put on the Walkman and listen to the Word of God while you're walking, while you're running, while you're fixing a meal, while you're cleaning the house. I mean, there are just so many opportunities to take, to listen to the Word of God. The challenge is for you to commit to listen 12 additional minutes or read 12 additional minutes a day in the Word of God for the next 3 months. Will you take that commitment? Let me put it to you this way. Do you think it is the will of God for you to spend more time in His Word? Now that's really the bottom line question. And if you come up with yes on that, then the next question is, well, how can I do it, preacher? I'm so busy. You know, even 12 minutes, how am I going to find it? Well, I think Atlanta has one of the longest commute times of any city in the United States. Now, some of you commute. Most all of us, I even commute more than 12 minutes a day. Most of us commute at least 12 minutes a day, right? How many of you drive to work and it takes you longer than 12 minutes to get there? Raise your hand. Okay, now. And if it just takes you 6 minutes, how many of you it takes longer than 6 minutes to get to work one way? Okay. You can listen 6 minutes to work, 6 minutes back. You've done your 12 minutes. Hadn't had to go out of your routine, not one bit. Are there any excuses, really?